What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Aaron, I would ask you how you're doing, but you're a Georgia alum, you're Georgia royalty, so I think I know the answer to that.
Yeah, life is good when you're back-to-back national champs. So now just enjoying it, man. It's been crazy to wait 40 years to win one, and then all of a sudden, bang bang, you get two in a row, undefeated, perfect season. We know how hard that is to accomplish. And man, I'm telling you right now, like you look at that team, this team heading into next year. Next year's team could end up being the best of all three. They are young on defense. They were young on offense. They have a lot of skill guys back. Top receivers, top tight end. Got two receivers in the portal. I think Carson Beck, the next quarterback in line, that I think is going to be given the job or at least win out the job in spring and summer. I think it's a stud and really is kind of waited his turn to be QB1. So, yeah, life is good right now if you're a Georgia Bulldog.
It's really incredible. Obviously, the last 2 years speak for themselves, but we used to do this all the time with Alabama. They would win. I don't care what they do in the regular season until someone beats them in the playoff. I would not be picking against them. That's now Georgia, where I can't pick against them until someone takes them down in the playoff for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and also, too, just them getting in there. I think even if there may be like one stumble along the route, say next year, I think they've built enough credibility with how well they've played in the playoffs, where like they're going to find a way to get in. And if you look at their schedule next year, there's nothing really that honestly scares me. It's kind of hilarious. You look at their schedule in their first four games at home, the non-conference schedules, a bunch of cupcakes. They did have the game versus Oklahoma that was supposed to happen, but with the restructuring the conferences, they decided not to play that game next year. I believe would have been in Norman. So. Yeah, it is a team that we've seen, go back to kind of your original point, it's a team that we've seen this year in big-time moments find ways to win, usually big. I mean, from the Oregon game, the first game of the season, went to South Carolina, which is a tough place to play, and absolutely destroyed them. Tennessee, number one team in the country, could have run away with that one, kind of, took the pressure off in the second half, won that game easily. Destroyed LSU. The Ohio State game was a good matchup. I thought it was a great game. And, kind of the one team that kind of scared me this year just based on the fact that, that's the type of offense that gives Georgia, at least the past 2 years, gives Georgia the most issues. But, yeah, big-time games, man, they show up and they play in a big way. And especially Stetson, MVP of all four playoff games, including obviously those two national championships, is, just absolutely special.
How do you put it into words what he means to the program? Because no one could have wrote this script and authored this script of what Stetson Bennett was going to do at Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he kind of elevated himself in my book to greatest Georgia quarterback of all time. And listen, I'm not, I didn't grow up in Georgia. I didn't grow up watching Georgia football in the 90s and early 2000s. I'm a kid from Florida. My first Georgia game was Georgia versus Hawaii in 2007, that Sugar Bowl. But, being in Athens and playing for 5 years, you learn the history, you watch the tape, you learn the names of the greats and you kind of see those highlights and you talk to enough people, you kind of realize like who meant the most to, the University of Georgia. But, to see what he's done in 2 years, to play the way he's played, I thought he's played tremendously well, especially in big time moments. To lead this team to an SEC championship, two national championships, to once again be the MVP of those four games, the big, four of the biggest games in Georgia's history. he was the number one quarterback in Georgia history after last year's national championship. You know, to me right now, he's the number one player in Georgia history just in general. And I know a lot of people want to say, oh, what about, you know, Herschel? Are you an idiot? What the hell are you talking about? But I love Herschel. You know, no Herschel, respect Herschel. Herschel's one of the greatest players of all time. I'm not, and this is where everyone gets, to me, confused, because I'm not projecting him as like, oh, he's an incredible NFL talent. Like, that's not it. How I view a player in college is this is how did you make the most of your 4 or 5 years? What did you do to better your university, to win championships, to set them up for success? And obviously, yes, Herschel won a Natty, Herschel won a Heisman, but Stetson has two, and he's done it at the most important position at the quarterback spot, and he's played the best of anyone in those big time moments. So to me, you put all that together, you know, he has been the best player in as a collegiate player at the University of Georgia, and I'm just so excited to continue to see, you know, kind of what he can do at that next level. I think he's going to get a shot, man. I really do. I think he's going to get a shot to make a roster and kind of fight from there on out.
It's crazy when you look back at the last 2 years, because I wonder how much people were really able to appreciate Aaron Murray, Stetson Bennett, because before that semifinal game against Michigan, there was talks if he gets off to a bad start, maybe they'll pull him. Then this year, when he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, everyone is saying Hendon Hooker should be there over him. Last night, it was fitting in a 65-7 game. He was basically able to just give all the doubters the middle finger pretty much one last time, because you just can't take anything away from this kid anymore. And it seems like people just tried to bench him so many times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they continue to find ways. I mean, you talk to the coaching staff, and they try to bury him on the depth chart.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't even supposed to be the starter before that was a UAB game, you know, 2 years ago or, year, you know, last season. And, you know, Carson was, I think, you know, supposed to be the starter, you know, just wasn't ready in the coaches' minds. And, you know, Stetson went out there and threw 5 touchdowns. And they were hoping that, okay, you know, give Carson another week, see what we can do probably, you know, the next game. And then, you know, Stetson throws 5 touchdowns. Like, okay, well, you know, we got to kind of roll with him right now until he kind of screws up. And, you know, kind of just obviously ran away with it, and the rest is history. So, yeah, I mean, from even last year too, like, you know, once he won the Natty, it was hilarious because fans were like, okay, thank you, now leave. Like, you know, we appreciate you. We appreciate you helping us win a Natty. Appreciate you being MVP of, you know, the Orange Bowl and the national championship. But, you know, take your ball, go home. You know, go be a tax guy or a lawyer or whatever the hell you want to do in the state of Georgia. We'll take care of you, but just leave the football team. And Seth is like, what? No, sorry. Like, this is my decision, and this is my dream. And if I have one more year to play college football, I'm going to play college football. So, you know, it's just amazing to see that he kind of decided to write his own story. He wasn't going to let anyone else write it for him. And it turns out that it's a pretty darn good story, and it's one that, you know, people will talk about for ages.
What do you think he'll be? I know you touched on a little bit, but as a pro, what do you think he could be in the NFL?
Well, I mean, listen, look at the amount of guys that have played this year in the NFL. I mean, there's like been, what, 60-plus quarterbacks that have started a game. And I would say, you know, I think he projects better than 10 of them. You know, I was going over a list with my boy Cole Kublik on our radio show earlier this afternoon. And we're like, man, there's 10 guys that have made starts in the NFL this year that Stetson is a better quarterback than, or at least was a better quarterback coming out of college football. So I think, you know, I think the issue was, once again, the narrative was ran about Stetson that he's a walk-on, so he must have below average arm strength and not be athletic and not good enough. And that's far from the truth. I mean, the man has, you know, plenty of arm strength. I would say well above average arm strength, can make every throw out there, will stand in there and face adversity in the pocket, is extremely mobile and outside the pocket running the football, is accurate, takes care of the football. He does everything you want, and he's a great leader. So, yeah, to me, I think he's a guy that get drafted somewhere in that 4th to 6th round. You know, maybe someone loves him enough to possibly take him before that. But, I mean, I think he's going to make a roster, and I think he's smart enough and will work hard enough to push himself to be a number 2, number 3 guy, you know, in his first couple of years.
Wrap it up with Aaron Murray, Georgia back-to-back national championships after their 65-7 drubbing, I guess you could say, of TCU. So Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, the two best coaches in college football. In your opinion, who's the third best coach in college football?
Oh, Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly's a stud. I thought LSU got a really good one, you know, being able to get him away from Notre Dame. And you know, you saw what he did in just year one there at LSU. And you know, the West wasn't as good as it's been in years past, but still, man, to, you know, to win the games that he won, to be able to win that league, to make it to the SEC championship game, you know, put a throttling on Purdue there and the Cheez-It Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, whatever it was. They had an impressive year, and you know, they got Jaden back next year. You know they got talent on both sides of the football. Harold Perkins is a stud on defense, so they got two young tackles, freshman tackles that played well this year. Running backs are back, so I'm excited for him, man. I respected everything he did at Notre Dame, the consistency in which they played there. When you kind of knew that, you know, they didn't have maybe the best talent in the world because of, you know, some of the limitations they had when it came to recruiting guys. So the fact that he's now at a place that you know is going to have talent, like I said, the fact that he was able to achieve what he achieved in year one, you know, should scare a lot of people out there in the country.
Wrap it up with Aaron Murray. I just saw a few moments ago Spencer Rattler announced that he's coming back to South Carolina. I like what Shane Beamer is doing there, and you saw Rattler really come alive the last few weeks of the season with how they ended their year.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to have to learn a new playbook now with a new offensive coordinator, but, you know, I thought he matured a lot in the system last year. And listen, a lot of expectations. You come in there, you know, a team that was good the year before, you know, average, you know, young coach, and a team that had, what, four quarterbacks, a receiver play quarterback in the bowl game, a grad assistant have to, you know, stop coaching essentially to be the quarterback at one point. You know, it was very dysfunctional. So you get Spencer Rattler and everyone's like, oh my gosh, we got a guy that was, you know, projected Heisman guy the year before, a potential top 10 pick. And I just think he put a lot of pressure on himself early. You know, the scheme was different than what he ran there at Oklahoma. So it took some adjustment, but, you know, the running game really helped him out. You know, unfortunate that their top running back is going to the other USC out there on the West Coast, but he's a heck of a talent. Was obviously huge in those games versus Tennessee and Clemson in those victories. But played well in the bowl game. You know, defense kind of just couldn't get it done at the end, but yeah, it's a big victory for South Carolina. Shane Beamer continues to, you know, get South Carolina moving in the right direction.
Aaron Murray, do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to be back at Michigan?
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I think it's just been, unless he's just wavering to try to get a new big fat paycheck, which I, you know, good for you. You deserve it after what you've done for the past 2 years, but I don't blame him, man. Coaching college football sucks. It really does. I'm not gonna lie. Like, the hours these dudes put in, the you know, dealing with the transfer portal, dealing with
the NCAA and their nonsense too.
Yeah, the NCAA, the high school recruiting, the everything, man. Dealing with NIL and boosters, and it's just, you get no break, man. These dudes grind 24/7, 365. And you know, it's interesting listening to like the coaches conference the other day with TCU and George, and both coaches kind of agreed, like, man, things need to change. Like, we don't get any time with our family. Like, this isn't healthy. Like, I want to see my kids. I want to see my wife. And I'm, you know, the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas having to worry about this transfer portal, NIL, and an early signing day while getting ready for bowl games. It's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you know, it's just too much. And you look at the NFL game, yeah, it's stressful too, but – yeah, you got a GM, you got scouts who deal with a lot of stuff. You get more of a legitimate offseason. You don't have to deal with all the nonsense NIL. You don't have to deal with the transfer portal. If a kid doesn't want to play, if a dude doesn't want to show up and grind, cut him, move on, trade him, whatever. You have more control. So it's just, to me, it's such a better route and a better quality of life there in the NFL than it is dealing with all the craziness that it is with college coaching. And he had success in the NFL too. So, you know, he's proven that he can coach at a high level there.
On the way out with Aaron Murray. So for TCU, I know it's easy for everyone to say last night they didn't belong because they lost 65-7 in the game, but they beat Michigan. So how do you kind of respond to people saying, oh, TCU shouldn't have made the college football playoff?
Well, they should have made it. I mean, they won the games they're supposed to win. You know, was maybe Alabama a better football team? Yeah, Alabama was probably a better football team. And
but they didn't, you know, have the resume this year, you know?
Yeah, they didn't win the football games. You still, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Until this thing turns into a 12-team playoff, you need to win the games that you're supposed to win in order to get in. And TCU did that. They had a great season. They had some incredible comeback victory, some gutsy performances, and obviously beating Michigan. Like, yeah, they deserve to be in the playoff. They deserve to be in the national championship. Listen, no one would have beaten Georgia last night. You know, Georgia would have beaten, if Georgia played the way they played last night, they would have beat Michigan by 20-plus points. They would have probably beat, you know, Ohio State and Alabama by double digits. You know, they did not play a great game versus Ohio State. That was kind of a wake-up call for them. You know, like I said, the way they played last night, there was no one in the country that could have come close to them. They were that much better than everyone else. So, you know, unfortunate for TCU, they you know, faced a Georgia team that, you know, got, like I said, woken up the week before. Kirby was pissed off. You know, got to kind of tell those guys, like, hey, guys, you won, but you played like crap, and we better step it up. And you saw a really pissed off Georgia football team, you know, in last night's matchup, and they took it out on TCU.
Last thing I'll ask you, Aaron Murray, for next year, and you talked about how next year's Georgia team could be even better than these last two teams that we've seen win the national championship. This year they go undefeated, just so dominant. Who's the team in college football that you think could be the biggest pain in the butt for Georgia next year? Is it still Alabama in your mind?
I don't think it's Alabama, to be honest. I mean, I think Alabama lost so much this year, and I know, you know, Nick is recruited at a high level for the past forever, and there's talent on that roster, but man, they got some replacing to do, especially the quarterback position. Like right now, you know, I'm not confident in what they have in that spot. You know, you lost the best quarterback you've ever had, and you lost the best defensive player you've ever had, and you had an okay season. Like, that should concern Alabama fans that we had all these you know, NFL guys, two top five picks, maybe the number one and number two pick in the NFL draft, and we lost two games and almost lost another two against average football teams and below average football teams at Texas A&M. So, you know, if that's your season this year, and all of a sudden you don't feel good about your quarterback, you didn't get anyone in the transfer portal, you lose your running back, you lose your defensive end, your best nickel safeties, I don't feel good about our Alabama. I feel better about LSU, honestly, in the SEC heading into next season. But you know, if I had to pick another team, I mean, I love what Florida State did to finish the season off. You know, I love what they did in the transfer portal. I think they're going to be a really, you know, tough team in the ACC to kind of get through that one. You know, the Pac-12 is going to be interesting. They got some really good quarterbacks. Oregon, you know, with Bo Nix back, obviously USC with Kayla back, and you know, Utah has Cam Rising back, and Washington is just loaded on offense with you know, Michael Penix Jr. So, you know, Pac-12 somewhat interests me, but I don't know, man. Right now, the only team that I can feel good about saying that I have confidence is not just because I'm a Georgia fan, but maybe it is a little bit, is Georgia to make the playoffs next year. I think it is wide open for those other three spots if you makes it.
Aaron Murray, always appreciate the time. Congratulations once again. Thank you.
Appreciate it. See y'all.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.